funk.
Tethered funk, we gonna tethered funk the mother sucker. Tethered funk, sucker. A tethered funk, we gonna tethered funk the mother sucker. Tethered funk, the sucker. A tethered funk, we gonna tethered funk the mother.
Everybody, and welcome to the show. Today is Friday, June 14th, 2019, and you're listening to the Hammer Radio Network, Hammer 96.7 BT Radio in Los Angeles, and I am executive producer Ellen Johnson coming to you live from Metairie, Louisiana. In today's show, Kevin Upkins, armed robbery, life in prison, was he set up? Kevin Upkins' story, life in prison, was he set up? Was it the racist Douglas County District Attorney David McDade for his political gain? His last plea was to reach out to the Brian Hammer Jackson show with Ellen Johnson 4 years ago. Did he get his Hail Mary ripped out of the headlines? Jury finds suspect guilty of armed robbery. Douglas County District Attorney David McDade announced today that his office successfully prosecuted Kevin Upkins, a 29-year-old Fulton County man, after a jury found him guilty of armed robbery this week. The charges stemmed from a May 2nd, 2008 incident at a security finance and on Fairborn Road. According to the evidence presented at trial by Assistant District Attorney Jeff Gore, Upkins robbed Security Finance of approximately $3,000, after ordering a female employee to the floor at gunpoint. When Upkins grabbed the cash out of the drawer in the business, he also picked up several checks that had been placed on top of the larger bills. Within minutes of the robbery, Sergeant Todd Gamer of the Douglasville Police Department responded to the scene and recovered three checks that Upkins had dropped on the floor of the business. Upkins was later identified through his fingerprints located on two of these checks. His fingerprints were on file from previous felony arrests in Atlanta. But is that what really happened? Exclusive on Brian the Hammer Jackson Show. And if you'd like to come in and join us, 319-527-6099 is the number. And now, without further ado, the number one radio personality, Brian the Hammer Jackson.
Good morning, Alan. Thank you for that introduction. Good morning. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. We are live. Opposed to... All right. Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. We are live. We are global. We're heard all over the world. If you'd like to come in the studio, you too. And your voice will be heard all over the world. Ellen, I don't have any coffee, and I don't have any soda, so I'll try to get my voice back in about 10 minutes.
You're out of coffee and soda? Wow.
I'm out of stimulants. But let's get through. This is a special show, everybody. When I started the show 4 years ago, a gentleman contacted me, and we didn't know what was going on at that time 4 years ago. We didn't know what was going on. And apparently the story was that he was looking for help. So he reached out to the Brian Hammer Jackson Show, Kevin Upkins. And it's weird, Ellen. Do you want to hear how you sounded 4 years ago? Because I think this was the first call. I'm not quite sure. Well, apparently what happened, long story short, is that he was in trouble. And Kevin mentioned that he was set up for a robbery case, and he was going to jail, and he was trying to get a lawyer, and he had a defense attorney that really didn't do his job, and the prosecutor wanted to get into a political field, so they used Kevin Upkins. This is what happened. This is us 4 years ago. I usually don't play us 4 years ago, but we're going to do it. Hold on a second. You probably won't even recognize your voice. Remember how we sounded 4 years ago, Ellen?
No.
Yeah, I know. It was going to be a shock. So Kevin came to us 4 years ago. They went to the website. They do need help. It's called The Kevin Upkins Story, and it's at you can just Google it, and you'll see The Kevin Upkins Story. And it's Kevin Upkins. This is his wife. Let's hear the sound bite. She's on YouTube. Here we go.
Kevin Upkins was wrongfully accused, shared as a key friend. The verdict was not valid. The victim was never shown a photo lineup.
I don't think it was his wife. It's somebody else, but here we go.
Kevin Upkins was wrongfully accused, shared as a key friend. The verdict was not valid. The victim was never shown a photo lineup. The detective would not allow the alibi to speak and stated he would have her arrested. The prosecutor did not produce evidence before trial. There was no video and no eyewitness. But transcript, the detective stated that, "I don't care about his rights. Let's stop this. Kevin Upkins has a life without parole for a robbery that never happened. Help us get justice for Kevin Parole. Call for Mecca at 678-508-8918.
Okay, so when Kevin came to me, this is injustice. Again, we're new on the show. Let's see, 4 years ago, we've probably been we weren't that new on the air. So I guess Kevin heard our show. So what we did was we went into action. So as people were listening to the show, we had the great bishop, from the Catholic Church. No, I'm sorry, God, it was 4 years ago. I don't know if he was a bishop of the church. Kevin will explain it. As soon as Kevin comes in, please let me know, because he only has a little bit of time, and he had to swap some time with another inmate to get on the show. So I'm going to put him in right away.
Okay.
So Bishop, I forgot the name of it, doesn't really matter. He went into action. And then I contacted Al Sharpton with the Action News Network. They went into action. And then I had another pastor with me. He went into action. They all went into action to find out what's going on with Kevin Upkins and why did this black man get, you know, serving life in prison for something he didn't do when he was framed. Now, that was supposed to be, hold on, I'm trying to find out, because we're on here too, because when I looked at it, and I'm trying to find the exact time when he first met us, and let me see the story. I'm on this page right now. I think we're on that one. He's a beautiful kid. I talked to his lovely wife. We were in contact to make sure he was okay. Okay, I'm trying to load this, and I think this is where we're on. Okay. Okay, here it is right here. So this is 4 years ago. Ellen, are you prepared to listen to us 4 years ago? I don't even remember how the show went 4 years ago, but this is us 4 years ago.
I don't remember.
Okay, here we go. Let me see if it'll play. Let me see if it plays. It's loading. And loading audio. This is our show. Here we go a little bit.
Welcome to the Brian and Hammer Jackson Show.
Like, whoa. It's hard to hear our voices. Wait a minute. Hold on. Something else is playing. Hold on. I can't. Hold on. This one won't stop. Shit. I don't remember us doing that 4 years ago. Hold on. I'm doing this live. This video won't stop.
Oh.
That's somebody else's show that's playing at the same time our show is playing. The bastards trying to pirate our radio. Hey.
Yeah.
All right. Hold on. I can get us. All right. Whew. All right. Let me see if I can get us. I hate when people try to pirate our, jump on our show.
Yep.
Let me see here. Bear with me. Here it is. This is us. Let me see if this is us. 4 years ago, Ellen. Let me see here. Nope. Oh, I know what's going on here. Okay, they have us. They must be following us because there's a lot of other shows here, but we had the Kevin Upkins story. And I was listening to it last night. Our voices were different. You were different. It showed that you respected me. It was a long time ago. I will get it up. Okay, here it is right here. Life Without Parole. Well, that's our. I'll try to get this. Again, now, so this is a show that when Kevin first came to us, I think he first came to us, because Kevin been on a show many times since then, but at least he put us as number one on his blog. That's good. We got good ratings.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm hearing something. The bastards. I can't. got rid of them.
Revelation chapter 7.
This is us, Ellen, 4 years ago.
They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst anymore.
Welcome to the Brian and Hammer Jackson Show. Kevin Upkins is there today. My friend. Welcome to the Hammer 96.7.
We had 96.7 back then 4 years ago, Ellen? Wow.
Yeah, I've said it the whole time.
Well, okay. Let me see if I can forward it.
To hear the story, and I'm...
Okay. I can't forward it too fast because I missed the intro. Let's see.
Like, you know that. This show is not about bashing the police. Bashing no one.
What the hell? What am I, Oxygen?
It's about justice. This show is about one man who just wants his day in court to prove his innocence. And I know how everybody is, you know, and I say this in the beginning. We're not scripted, and we like it that way because we're real. I go back with that Pepsodent commercial where four out of five.
Okay, let me see.
All we want to do is tell a story. We want you to think today for yourself. That's what we want. That's all I'm asking. I invite you to come into the studio. I did post this on Twitter. I did hashtag pastors. I did hashtag cops. I hashtag a lot of people because...
I must have been smoking that. There you are, Ellen.
All right. So, Mark, all he wants to do is tell a story.
In the corner, huh?
He will. All right. So, good, man. It's good to hear your voice. Kevin, I'm going to read this really quickly just to get everybody. All right, he said, Kevin Upkins, please take me back to that day. What happened and where were you? And let's make it short because we want to put...
God, I should have been more polished back then 4 years ago. Yeah, this is ponderous. My boys, here we go.
It's like this, Brian. You know, like I'm not the most favorable person in the world, but, you know, part of my release, you know, a drug case that I had, for the first time ever in my life, I was going legit. You know, within 3 months of my release, I had met my wife. You know, a few months after that, she was pregnant. We got married. You know, I had begun to pursue my career. You know, every showcase, talent show I had entered at the time, I was winning. So, you know, everything was going lovely. Everything was going beautiful. But on the day that they say, on the day they said this incident occurred was the actual day that I met my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I say around December 1st was the first time I heard anything of it. You know, the incident supposedly took place May 2nd of 2008. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't, you know, wasn't aware of it till December 1st when the arrest warrant was heard on me, you know, for the arrest out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the guy that I was involved with, you know, musically. You know, I was trying to, you know, start my own brand, learn the industry through experience because I wasn't signing the contracts, anything. And the way the guy was rocking, it made me cut him short. And for the moment that I cut him short, you know, I had started
Brian,
questioning for things.
Yes? Is Kevin
here? Kevin's
here.
Yeah.
All right. Let me let him in. Kevin Upton, my brother. Good to hear your voice.
Hey, man, what's good?
Oh, man, I was just going back 4 years ago when we're trying to get everything straight. Kevin, I know you only have a short period of time. Tell people what happened. Get them up to date about your story because we got a new audience now. And let's hear what's going on, Kevin. How did this start?
First off, how you doing, Brown, man? I miss you, crazy ass. First off, we to a place, you know, I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. The incident occurred in Douglasville, Georgia. It's probably about 35, 40 minutes west of Atlanta, a town I never been to. Well, out the blue, an arrest warrant was issued for my arrest. Douglasville sheriffs came to Atlanta to execute the warrant. So, you know, at the time they pulling up on me, I was baffled, like, you know, what? I had just recently got married. You know, I had started my career with the music, doing the shows around Atlanta and other spots. Had my first child on the way. So, you know, life was going, you know, great at the time. But when they pulled up on me, they arrested me, you know, locked me up in their county jail. You know, sitting in there, you know, I started getting more information. I was charged with armed robbery, possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. And, you know, so I was, you know, asking questions, you know, trying to figure out where these charges stem from. But I had just gone through two incidents with two other agencies, you know, Fulton County and Paulding County, where I was investigated for an incident, ruled out as a suspect, and then in Fulton County, you know, the charges was dismissed against me. And both of those incidents stem from a guy that I was associated with. Once I started doing my music, you know, performing at these shows, you know, seeing his character and the way he was rocking, he wasn't in tune with what I was trying to establish. So, you know, I cut ties with him. And you know, he was angry about that. You know, probably about 3 months later, that's when the saga began, when, you know, the agency's pulling up on me about different charges. And like I say, it would get dismissed, and I would be ruled out as a suspect. But the thing about Douglasville, Georgia, you know, they didn't put forth the investigation that was required to, you know, get to the end thing. So, newly married, you know, my wife, my ex-wife, she used to work for immigration. You know, they interview immigrants, do green cards, things of that nature. She was actually my alibi the day that we had met, you know, in East Point. And, you know, I spent the night, you know, at her house, and, you know, she was all work. You know, I met the kids and everything. You know, this testimony, you know, this alibi was submitted, you know, to the jurors as well. The detective threatened that if she submitted her alibi, he would arrest her. It's all in the transcript, too. Everything that I'm telling you could be proven. But long story short, the evidence that Douglasville had was nothing. It was a security finance business. You know, it sat inside a plaza with other stores. So, and there's no video footage, you know, of the robber being submitted. There was no weapon. They had me charged with armed robbery, but it was no weapon, no money, no witness. As a matter of fact, the witness who's in the business that got robbed, when she first called 911, the clerk, the 911 call asking her, you know, give a description of the witness. She said two black males, one wearing a T-shirt and a hat. So when the detectives and the officers get there, you know, they came, you know, their procedure, they canvass the scene, and then they get with the witness again. So now they taking the written statement from her. And I got the statement in her handwriting. She said the same thing when she was asked. questions about description. And she gave the same statement. But in the call, she also, stressed that she didn't know, please send help. So then the detective offered to display a photo lineup. But the statement she given was there's no need to view a photo lineup because she would not be able to ID them if she saw them in the future. So, here I am in Atlanta. It's 7 months later, a warrant was issued. Now, this is something that I never told you about either, Brian, because, the way this happened to me was because I had no idea of what my rights consisted of. I'm talking about no clue. I've been doing a lot of studying and reading since this incident happened. I've even enrolled in Blackstone Career Institute. It's a course I'm on my fifth exam. I just finished the fourth exam.
Congratulations.
I appreciate you for that. But in reference to the warrant that was used for my arrest, there was no probable cause that exists within this case, Brian. The detective told the magistrate judge out of his mouth. I have it in transcript. Nothing ties Kevin to this case. But on November 7th, he stated that on November 7th, the expert from GBI contacted him said an item like a check was a print was submitted belonging to me. And then what made the detective, request a warrant for my arrest. And now check this, because I didn't know what my rights consisted of. I didn't know how to draft a defense. That's why I paid these attorneys all this money. They ignored the issues that would have got me released. But when you review the case, and the forensic report that the expert put out, the expert was not assigned to my case until the 14th of November. And he didn't conclude, the 12th of November. He didn't start examining my case. He wasn't assigned to my case until the 12th of November. And he didn't conclude his report until the 14th of November. So you go back to the statement that the detective made. How could this expert call you on the 7th of November and told you that a print belonged to me, found on his check, when he wasn't assigned to the case until the 12th and then concluded his report on the 14th? Well, there's other evidence that came out. You feel what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying. Let's go back. I hear what you're saying, but here's the evidence that we're against you. First of all, you're calling me from what facility, Kevin, are you calling me from?
West State Prison. We are in Georgia.
Oh, you're in Georgia?
Florida.
Yeah. All right. Did you get the gift that I gave you, the shovel? You know what I mean, Kevin? I'm only kidding, Kevin.
All right. Yeah, you had me lost. All
right.
I see what you're talking about. You heard.
Yeah. So, Kevin, let's go back to the beginning. We first met. And, Kevin, what made you call me? Let's go back because we got a new audience now, Kevin, and we're on Stitcher and we're on TuneIn, so we got a lot more audience. So let's go back to the beginning. You called me. What made you call me, and when you did call me, what happened from there?
You talk about recently or when we were
first?
Well, no,
I mean the first time that you contacted me, when we first contacted me, our first show, you called me to tell me your story, and then we went into action. And remember what we did after that? So you called me, you told me your story. And then I got a hold of these people that were going to help you, remember?
Yeah, you tapped me on the Bishop Ashlock, on the president of Ashlock and Civil Action Network in the Southern Chapter. and we contacted.
That's right. We went in.
We contacted the Innocence Project. Much like, you know, I was so intrigued by, you know, dealing with Bishop Angelock that, you know, I had never followed through with the Innocence Project. I felt like they probably needed, like, you know, other kind of evidence. But like I say, my understanding, my comprehension of the procedures and how to do this in reference to law, I had no idea. Well, what made me contact you, though, I was, you know, me and my ex-wife, you know, this even deteriorated the marriage. You know, we know me and me, Tamika no longer married, Brian.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
I know.
And
I'm sorry that. But you did a good thing with her. You let her go.
So we.
You let her go.
Exactly.
I mean, she was a good woman, and she stood by you. She was your alibi. She fought with you. She was a warrior. And when you told me you let her go, it took a lot of courage for you to do that. And we'll get into that a little later because I don't know how much time I have. But when you contacted me, I heard the story. I had my open mind. I said, okay. And then you told me the story. And I said, damn, I was outraged. And I got a hold of the bishop. I got a hold of the Action Network. We got you people. We got pastors with you. God was with you. Jesus said, I'm coming. And we got the ball rolling, and then the evidence. And you're saying this was – now, let's catch people up. The evidence is that you – were you ever in that bank, Kevin? Were you ever in that bank that they accused you of robbing?
On Douglasville, Georgia, where it's located, I never had set foot in that town a day in my life until the day that the warrant was issued. I don't have the evidence to prove it, but it exists.
Right.
The guy
right.
that I was telling you about, Anthony Cox, now, he was angry with me because I, you know, cut ties with him. But, you know, I got a son on the way. I'm trying to go, you know, a legitimate lifestyle. I just had got out from a drug offense. So I'm amazed that I'm succeeding doing these shows, winning money for it. I didn't got married, and I'm talking about it was lovely. But when I cut ties with these guys, different agencies started pulling up on me from nowhere, knowing my name, asking questions. But you know, Fulton County and Paulding County, they did their investigations. And at the end of the day, they ruled me out as a suspect, and they dismissed the charge. But when it came
but
to
Kevin, your
finger, deal,
but Kevin, huh? Your fingerprints. How do you explain your fingerprints at the bank? They said they got you weren't even there. You're with your wife, but if I remember right, but how? The hard part was your fingerprints were there at the bank.
Yeah.
How do you explain that? That's a hard thing. Mm-hmm.
That's a wonderful question, too, because that's the most important thing. Okay, the surrounding, going on, this issues surrounding this check. The detective, on the day of the incident, he received a check and a money order and a $100 bill. It's evident.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He held the items into his possession for 14 whole days, from May 2nd, 2008 to May 16th, 2008.
Mm-hmm.
On the 13th, I had came in contact with that second agency who wound up ruling me out as a suspect. But, okay, he had these evidences in his possession for 14 days. On the 14th day was when he approached the evidence tech, you know, people who process evidence. Now, these are check, you know, paper items that we're talking about. 14 days, no proof of how they was packaged, no proof where they was located, no proof of how they were preserved, no data, no proof of nothing in reference to the chain of evidence. Now, moving on to the chain of custody. When the detective said, cause in during trial, he said he hand delivered the items to the evidence tech people. Then once my attorney started cross examination, it came out that, you know, he dropped them off on the 14th day, you know, later. So, but now in reference to the chain of custody, on September 9th is a big day. Okay, once the evidence, you know, been processed by the evidence tech, which was May 27th, 2008. Edward Reese, you know, the evidence tech who was over there at Evidence Technology, he took the prints to GBI Crime Lab on October 21st, 2008. But when you review the envelope, someone had went in the envelope on September 9th, 2008. Now, this is money, some change prior to October 21st. All right, you have three dates on this envelope, but only two names exist. For the date September 9th to be on the envelope, somebody went in the, inside the envelope and dealt with the evidence. They just didn't sign their name. The expert couldn't explain it. The district attorney couldn't explain it. Nor, people from GBI. Okay, so who went inside this envelope and handled this evidence? The evidence tech further disclosed that this case was, I want to use the exact word that he used. I can't even think. It's in my transcript, though, but this case.
Right.
This case, you know, the term was like it's awkward because it had been sent, resubmitted to GBI on two occasions. Usually when they do a first exam, it's preserved and, you know, it's there. And, you know, out of thousands of cases that they work, they never submit fingerprint evidence twice.
Okay.
You know,
well, I understand that, Kevin. Well, we're going and you're going through the evidence that they're trying to convict you, but let's go with your innocence here. And I understand that, Kevin. I do. And you know I do. Since we have new listeners, I'm going to try, and I have you only for a short period of time. I just want to get to the meat of it. Kevin, why do you think you were set up, and who do you think set you up?
The guy Anthony Cox. Like, you know, I said, it was 2008, I'm doing these shows, I done got married. The way of thinking, everything is changing, especially expecting my son. But when I cut ties with Anthony Cox, that's when everything started happening. You know, the incident where the charges is missed, I was given a discovery packet. And it had his name in it telling officers that I was involved with this, you know, I robbed that. And, you know, it just... And there was the incident in Paulding County, which that I was ruled out as a suspect in. You know, he went to talking about how he just gave all kind of crazy information, which made them believe that I was involved in a crime. And you know, he called me from jail because he had first initially got arrested. He was locked up. You know, I would buy him clothes, you know, tag along with me while we doing my shows and everything. We just cooling, but he wound up calling me, talking about he needed burn fill. And I used to, you know, on a regular basis, pep talk him about the successes from people who from the same areas that we from through music.
Right.
You know, you got Young Joe, my homeboy, my childhood friend, Young Jock. You know, I've been looking for some help from bro, but you know, they have what they got going on, but, you know, a lot of, you know, friends that I grew up with, and they chose to strive in another area, which was legitimate, and they succeeded, and they received hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars. So So I used to pep talk him on this all the time because I actually met him in the county jail when I was down on that drug offense. He had skills in reference to the music. And I told him I was going to mess with him when I get out because when Young Jock succeeded behind Young Drug, you know, it touched me. I was like, wow, you know, this happening around, you know, my hood. You know, I'm from Bankhead on Mango Circle.
Right.
So, and, you know, these people from around the way shouted, though. I'm like, wow, my little partners, they in them from the Shop Boys, little baby now. I'm like, wow, you know, it's just so much happening. So that's when I started focusing on, okay, this is what I'm finna do. You know, because I couldn't, you know, this lifestyle I had to change up, especially with my son coming on the way. But, so when I started seeing actions from him, you know, that wasn't in tune with what I was trying to do, I just figured that it was best that, you know, I cut ties with him. So, you know, all that was going on while I was kicking it with him, you know, him, me, my people, you know, it make you feel important when you with the main event and, you know, everybody learning who was and, you know, stuff like that. So I guess with him losing it and me doing it while he was in jail, because I hadn't gave money to keep him out of the situation and calming him off. That what he was stealing,
right.
I'm out there buying up some clothes. So I had to do a show in Athens. And he's stealing. He got these people calling my name over the intercom to come to the managing office. And I go in there, you know, my heart being like, why y'all calling me? And they telling me he's stealing. He right here. And he done gave these folks all my information. And this is what I'm trying to stray away from so I don't need this new. And that was, you know, last drop when them people, when he called me, talking about he needed burn himself. That was the last drop for him. I got you. What? I'm going to meet them at Greenbrier and get them the money. But, you know, to help burn them out. But after the phone call, and I just played everything over, you know, that transpired with me giving him second chances to say, I was like, that's it. I changed my mind. I blocked the number, and, you know, so I guess he was mad about that.
Now,
hold on, Ryan. It's been a while since I talked to you. Oh, check this out.
Right.
You know, you know, we allowed to email people, you know, on our tablets. You know, they give issues tags. Oh, my God, I forgot to tell you. Okay. So I had did a video. I sent it to my sister. It's posted on my wall on my Facebook page, too, under my name, Kevin Upton. Okay, so my sister, you know, posted it. You know, it's on YouTube as well. Just Google YouTube my name. Okay, my sister put it up. A girl contacted her in her inbox and said, he didn't do that. I know who did it. God of my witness, this happened. I got the girl name and everything and her number. So my sister sent me a videogram. I've been telling her to record. I'm finna go and make her record and then that I done been on the show so she can put it on YouTube. But my sister sent me a video saying, Bro, you ain't gonna believe this. You need to call me back as soon as possible. A girl just contacted me in my inbox, and you should see my sister's facial expression. She was looking shocked and puzzled. She was like, she said that you didn't do this robbery, and she know who did it. So when I called, you know, started communicating with the girl, she called Anthony Namath. Because at first I'm thinking, it is, you know, these girls on some groovy shit or something, or they pranking. But when she said his name, my heart dropped.
Really?
Matter of fact, today, it going to be on YouTube. So I'm going to make my sister record the video that she had sent me and, you know, put and post it. But the girl had contacted my sister and told her all that she know. And cause she used to be in a circle, and she called out a few names. I'm like, Mika, I'm telling my sister, cause you know her name Tamika as well. I'm like, Nico, that girl knows she's talking about you, heard what name she just called that. And what she say corroborate some of the things that I was saying in trial when I mentioned Anthony Carr involving me in this. It just, I didn't have the perspective that she had. Because she was around after, and when they were, him and one of his friends were playing. I'm talking about hearing this out of her mouth. I was like, oh my God. So I had been, after that, that's what got me back going while I'm recently, you know, reaching out to you, especially after enrolling in this Black Stone course. You know, I'm very knowledgeable to the origin and the nature and purposes for the establishment of law. And I'm to my jurisdiction, which is one of my...
Did you take that video to your attorney? Do you have a public defender right now, Kevin? And did you let them know about this video?
I'm glad you, that's a wonderful question, too, because everyone that's getting into where I'm at now. Like, I have what's called a motion to vacate filed in the Superior Court right now. I done filed this motion multiple times, but I was doing it incorrectly. So I think I'm on point now in reference to the procedure. And it's been so long that I've been doing this, even though I know the argument and for the evidence that support what I'm saying, the violation, supports the constitutional violation and everything, I'm just tired, and I told my folks I wanted a lawyer. We tried getting pro bono attorneys. We tried reaching out to even paid attorneys, but, you know, it's a being that these people want their paperwork. So I took the initiative. I told my sister, I was like, everything that we bring in is going to this lawyer. So I started putting out, you know, her cash up. And I have a story and a bio drafted up because I'm being interviewed in a magazine called Herb Zup magazine. And I still have a copy of it. So, like to, you know, later you give me an email and I'm going to send you, you know, those as well. But we've been putting the cash out.
Yeah, send it to me. I'm going to have Ellen. You remember Ellen, don't you, Kevin? You remember Ellen.
Yeah, you know, I love Ellen. I remember. You can't forget Ellen. She's so sweet.
Yeah, she is so sweet. Ellen, say hello to Kevin. Ellen?
I didn't know Ellen was on.
Hey,
yeah,
I had myself because there was noise
okay, there
going
she
on.
Is. Say hello to Kevin because he wants to say hello to you.
Hey, Ellen.
Hey.
It's been a long time. Hey, you see how Brian put us on the spot and we just got stuck like this?
Yeah.
How you doing,
you know.
Ellen?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Under the circumstances, Ellen, I'm holding. I'm feeling
yeah,
not good.
He's doing great, Ellen. We're talking about a man who served life in prison. How are you? Oh, I'm doing fine, you know. Ellen.
Hey, see, that's why I say under the circumstances, because I'm now aware of what my rights consist of, how I was violated, and what needs to be done in order to correct the wrong. And I know how to draft the defense now. See, that was the thing. I had multiple attorneys. We spent more than $200,000 messing with this case in general. But only a portion went toward, you know, the different attorneys. But the thing in reference to the representation that I had, defenses existed for me. It just no attorney have addressed the issue in court. To this day, the issue has not been properly addressed before a judge and ruled on. So that's what I'm trying to get now. It's this lawyer named Sarah Flack. You know, I pretty much dub her as like a female version of Johnny Cocker. After doing an investigation, you know, on the attorney that I've been, you know, seeking out to, and she was one of the ones that, you know, made me feel comfortable, and she charged me $12,000. Like I say,
what?
Young Jock, she charging me $12,000 for the case, but she giving me a player payment plan.
Yeah.
know, $2,500.
You know what?
Get her started.
I'm gonna represent you, Kevin. I got my degree on the internet.
Hold on. So you mean to tell me you got a degree on the internet? You don't have a degree in law?
Well, you know, in some countries they accept it. You know, and I will come up there because, but on a serious note, Kevin, they had a witness. They had a witness, and the witness pointed you out.
It's
the same lady. And
was this
a white lady?
Now,
was this a white lady or a black lady?
She was white.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The jury was 11 whites and one black. I was the only black male sitting in court during the time she got on stand and gave her testimony. And you remember I was telling you in her 911 call, she said two black males, one wearing a T-shirt and, you know, a hat. And then she like, she don't know, just please send help. She couldn't give for this description. When the detective got to the scene, he came, he then got another statement which corroborates with the 911 call. Then she declined the photo lineup, saying she wouldn't be able to ID if she saw the people in the future. But on the day of trial, which was approximately two years later, she got on stand, and you had two witnesses that the detective said he spoke to outside the building after the robbery occurred. Alexander, it was a female and a male. Now, both of these witnesses gave descriptions in reference to height, hair, you know, clothing, and heritage. It gave, you know, furthermore a description of two black males and, you know, their height, whatnot. But, so on the day of trial, these witnesses who wrote these statements, they did not testify. I don't even know if they exist. Now, I tried finding them when I couldn't. But they didn't testify. But the statements that they wrote.
No, but Kevin, because we only have a little bit, time, and I want to make sure that I give you enough time so you can plead your case to everybody because of the reason you're calling. But I do want to ask a couple of questions. I'm only interrupting you because I want, you know, the facts come out and help you out here. Now, Kevin, now this was at 2000. When did this happen? 2000. When? That you were accused of this?
May 2008.
That was 2000.
The incident occurred. The incident occurred May 2008. I was arrested December 1st, 2008.
Okay. Now, I can only go by this, and help me out, Kevin, because, Kevin, before then, let's just be honest, you were not a Boy Scout. Did you have a record before that? Were you in the system before this robbery charge? And were you an habitual in and out of the system? You know, I'm talking small stuff. It could be marijuana, it could be whatever. But were you in the system? Like, you know, how many times have you been to jail before this happened?
I have been arrested in the county jail probably about three or four times, and I had not been to prison once.
Okay. And so that's why you're in the system. And that's why if somebody mentions your name, you know, they can pull up a record, and it's the usual suspects, right?
That's pretty much what happened. With the help of someone who did like me.
Right. I'm going to ask you a question, Kevin. We're friends, and remember, Kevin, seriously, this is a radio show, and people can hear this, so be careful. Be careful. I'm just saying, just really be careful, okay, for what you say. And I say that as a friend. You don't know who's listening. You know what I mean? There was a case, August 12, 2003. Do you remember the case, Upkin versus the state of Georgia? Remember that case?
Yeah.
Now, on that case, you were found guilty of possession of cocaine. You were found possession of cocaine. At that time, it was the district attorney, Barbara Conroy, was the one, I think. Was she the prosecutor at this point? on that case?
I don't remember that name, Barbara.
Okay.
Like, I believe it was Marty First.
Right. It says here. Now, tell me. Right. Now, we're going in with the justice system, and just tell me if anything was correct or anything was incorrect, because I understand what you're saying with the paperwork. I understand the case where I know that assuming allegedly that person who put you by the prosecutor wanted political, he had political aspirations. You said you weren't even there, but they kept hammering you. So I'm going to go with this other case. You tell me correct, not correct, but don't say anything more than that, okay? Correct, not correct, okay? Don't say anything more. This happened, so you tell me. This is this is August 12th, 2003. This is before the robbery case, and I'm saying this because this is why you're in the system.
Yeah.
This is a jury found you, Kevin Upkins, guilty of possession of cocaine. They tell what happened. They said apparently the police, you were in a hotel room. Just say correct, not correct. That's all you have to say, okay? What they said was they found evidence of cocaine. They said what happens, the officers knocked on the door, and it opened, and when they identified themselves as police officers, one of the room occupants fled into the bathroom. Correct, not correct. The officers then entered the room, one of them following the man in the bathroom. Police found Upkins and the fleeing man in the bathroom. Correct, not correct. I mean, this is a past case, so they can't try you again. But I just want to make sure that when we have these records, and sometimes people go to jail in it, you know, when they're innocent. But I just want to make sure that the record is correct. So was that you, Kevin, going into the bathroom, correct or not correct, at that particular time?
Not correct.
Okay. The officer said that when they opened up the door, when they identified themselves, you went in. Once in a hotel room, the officer said there was drug paraphernalia, including crack pipes, razors, typically used for cutting narcotics, and a scale. Police decided to arrest all five occupants of the room on the charges of loitering for drug purposes. A search of Upkins' pocket revealed three bags of crack cocaine and $270 in cash. Correct, incorrect.
It was the cash that they got on me was correct, but
okay.
The stuff that he came now there was it was three bags that he had, but he didn't get it off of me. You know, the guy that they said ran in the bathroom, cause I was already in the bathroom. When the police came in, Home ran to the bathroom where I'm in. The police tackled him on their way in there. The police got this stuff off the ground, but wrote in a report like he got it from me. That's why I went to trial. But again, not knowing, law, you know.
And how did you get the $270 in cash, Kevin? Don't answer. Just say, I'd rather not answer. My attorney will answer. No, I'm very serious about this. You know what I mean? Because I have to ask this as a radio host, Kevin, because this is also going to help clear your name. There was $270 in cash. You don't have to answer that if you don't want to.
It was more money than that, Brian. That's how they had turned in.
Okay.
I had more money in my pocket than that.
Okay. Well, Kevin, when at the trial, here's where it gets a little dicey. At the trial over Upkins, you were objecting a lot at the trial. Now, what I'm trying to say, did you get convicted on this particular one? This is just possession of cocaine. I mean, this is possession of cocaine. So did you get convicted for this particular incident?
Yes.
Okay. How many years did you serve, Kevin?
Seven to the dope. To the dope. And I had to be on probation when I got out.
Right. Now, here you are. You are on probation. And, again, this is before the robbery charge here. So you're being a good guy. I mean, in between that, after that, were there any other incidents before the robbery issue that you went back to the county or you went back to prison? Was there any other incidents before that?
But that was the only time I had went to prison, but I hadn't been arrested before, though.
Okay. And what I'm trying to clarify is that once a black man is in the system, the usual suspects, and that leads to your case right now, because you're saying the witness lied, and you don't even know if the witness even testified, and you have in your mind, you don't even know if there was a witness. So you're saying basically you're railroaded. Your friend said that you did something because you had a falling out with him, and you think your friend was trying to make a deal and just throwing names out there so he can get a shorter time in prison. Do you think that happened, Kevin?
Yes, I believe so, because that's where he was locked up then. He was just getting out. And if you're on probation, they're not going to let you out, you know, like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
You got to, he had that pulled up on me. Matter of fact, the day that I had got arrested, I'm like, dog, I thought you was on probation. And I'm
right.
Like, look, man, matter of fact, that didn't happen. Because he had contacted me. He contacted me. And that's when I made it official. I'm like, look, man, you know, till you be your way, to me be mine, man. You know, it ain't
right.
Going to work out. So I dropped him off at the train station, at Lindbergh train station, and, you know, gave him $50. And that was the last I had seen of him up until, you know, I got, you know, messed up.
Okay. Okay. Now, when you first came on the show, everybody was with you. I mean, we did live on the air. You know what we did. You know, we called everybody. We called the witness. The bishop. I had pastors on the show praying for you. Everybody, they promised me they're getting to action. You're good, and you're keeping me updated, saying, Brian, they're really helping me out. I said, that's right. I'm getting the word out, Kevin. And then what happened to all that support, Kevin? What happened?
See, like, overall, I need representation in court. And, you know, people don't have the funds, you know, do it. So that's why I'm glad I'm on the little trip that I'm on now.
In
reference to trying to, you know, get a lawyer.
Kevin, remind everybody. Now, are you serving life in prison, Kevin, without
yeah,
possibility of parole?
Yeah, they gave me life without the possibility of parole. No evidence. This was crazy. Oh, yeah, just to give you, put you on point, I only have, like, 8 minutes, though.
Oh, you only got 8 minutes? Kevin, go use your 8 minutes and tell everybody why you called. Go, buddy, go.
Well, you know, my reason for calling is just to inform everyone that I know my rights now. I know how to utilize the evidence that's in my case, because the evidence is in my case. It just had to be orchestrated and laid out for the listener to know, you know, what to look forward to. Like, the evidence that I spoke on in reference to the forensic with the checks, the evidence had no credibility and no integrity. So it never should have been allowed into trial. You know, the witness, she claimed that she didn't know anything about the suspect on the day of trial when she pointed me out. The detective asked her, do she see the person who robbed her? And I'm the only black man in the courtroom sitting at the defense table. So, you know, that's a no-brainer. But I'm just asking for, you know, any kind of support. Because all the money that I'm grinding up from prison, you know, my sister giving me friends, my you know, even people on my page who see me pushing and see that I'm serious, they donate, and I don't care what they donate, you know, anything can help. Cause I just want to make this first payment with, you know, the attorney, going to get her started, and an easy way for me, you know, to receive any donations would be through Cash App. And if you go to my Facebook page, you know, that first post, you'll see what the Cash App is. But the Cash App is $ T-A-M-E-K-A, that's Tamika, capital S, I-M-S. And what that spell is Tamika S. Sims. That's my sister, you know, that's who hold all my money for me. And if you would, Brian, you know, send me a link to my inbox, you know, the email, and I have the bio and the story, you know, sent to you. And I keep you updated with this magazine, because any kind of outlet, broadcasting, promotion where I can raise some kind of awareness, you know, on my situation, I'd be up for it, because, you know, if someone come in and really analyze like attorneys do, you know, I also want to get the lawyer to, you know, get with this new witness that I have, you know, get her statement and bring inside court too. So, you know, I just want, I'm only raising the awareness because I don't care about people coming in investigating and reviewing. Cause at the end, they going to see that, you know, what I was saying is the truth.
Okay, you give me all that information. We're on Facebook. Any information you want to give me, I'll post it, Kevin. And you're more than welcome to come on the show anytime to tell your story. I hope we helped you. Your lovely wife called me and told me about your story. We got a hold of you. That's how we started. And I listened to the story, and everybody listened. I mean, we got into, we contacted Al Sharpton, the Action Network, the bishop, that we have pastors, we had the witness release. We went into action for you. And, you know, I am your portal for getting the word out and updating you. And I know it takes money to get a good attorney. And again, tell everybody, again, if they want to donate and help you get out of jail, because you and your, you know, in your opinion, were set up and you did not do this crime. So what's the address again, or what's the page where people go to again, Kevin?
Well, like on Facebook and on YouTube, just put my name in, Kevin Upton.
Okay.
And on my Facebook page, you will see the Cash Out. And again, you know, a easy way for them to help, or they could just inbox me and tell me, you know, which way it'll be easier for them. And I, you know, see what I could do, you know, what I could figure out. But, you know, I'm just asking for donations, you know, so I can go on and at least get this lawyer going. Cause I'm ready, Brian. It's been too long.
Well, okay, Kevin. We'll get that word out. And Kevin, how is Tamika? Again, Kevin has a little son, beautiful boy, and Tamika, his ex-wife, stood by him. She was the alibi champion.
Hey, Brian.
How's she doing? Yeah.
Hey, they doing nice, especially my son, cause that's mainly who I keep up with. I just felt like it was too much of a burden for her to stop, so that's why I make the decision to allow her to dip. And, you know, over time, you know, when you start something else, you know, that take more of a role, but we still cool. But I got to end it, Brian, because I got to go.
All right, man. Hey, Kevin, take care. Hey, wait a minute, Kevin, before you go, Tamika's here. Girl, put on your clothes. Talk to your ex-husband. You know how to do that. All right. All right, Kevin.
Hey, yeah,
be cool. All
right, bro. All right,
man.
Bye.
Bye. All right, that's Kevin Upkins, everybody, and he has to go. They had to do things. Bazooka Joe's in here. Melissa's in here. How you guys doing?
Hey, good morning, all.
Good morning.
Good. Good morning. Good morning.
How's the phone? Any verb?
Terrible.
Your phone? It is pretty bad, Joe.
It is? All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Melissa. You're the first vanguard, of course.
Well,
well, Joe like that.
Why Joe fixes his phone. We have a double hitter here, you guys. You just heard Kevin Upkins, And we'll talk more about Kevin Evans in the next episode. We have a double feature here. In about 15 minutes. Uh-oh, that's me. In about 15 minutes or more or less than that, we're going to kill the show because we have another show coming up. Ellen, really quickly, who's on the next show and who's our guest arriving in 13 minutes? Quickly.
His name is John T. Long, and he's a practicing attorney and author, and he wrote an autobiography about his life.
But he's more than that. He's a personal injury. Give him the resume on this gentleman.
He's a personal injury, criminal, and family law lawyer.
And he's practicing law now. So he's a practicing attorney, a criminal law attorney, personal injury attorney, and he's still practicing. He's our next guest in about 13 minutes. And he's writing a book about his wife, huh? This is interesting. An autobiography of his wife?
No, about an autobiography about his life.
Oh, his life. I thought you meant his wife. L-I-F-E?
Yeah, L-I-F-E.
You can't write an autobiography about somebody else.
Oh, well, I don't know. I done it. Well, you know.
I guess you did.
Yeah, really. The guy was still alive, and he sued me for libel.
Yeah. You're lying, Brian.
But what did you guys think of his story? Well, again, this is Kevin Epkins. We met 4 years ago, and he says that the person, the witness, the white lady accused him of being at the bank. There were fingerprints at the bank, and he says it was not his. He claims that the district attorney who prosecuted the case had political aspirations, and the reason I went back to the other crime is to say, how did you get into the system? Because if I was accused of a crime, they would have to prove it, and it's unusual to have robbery. I don't know. I've never been in prison, but isn't it unusual to be in rob someone and get life without parole? I mean, I'm thinking that's kind of unusual. What led to that? Thoughts, anyone?
Well, I would say Melissa can go first, but,
I would say you'd think it would depend on what state, you know, somebody's in, right? How harsh the laws are, but that's pretty harsh, you know?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I didn't know the story. I was going to ask you about it because I just got here, so I didn't know. But Melissa's probably right. I mean, it does depend upon the state, but you're right also, Brian. I mean, if the prosecutor had political aspirations, taking somebody who probably had no resources and, you know, trying to put him in prison, that seems to be likely also.
Oh, it's an afterthought.
What's that?
Hello.
What happened? Oh, my phone again?
No. You're probably listening to us laugh at somebody.
Sorry. Oh, yeah. Laugh at me? You're laughing at me? Were you laughing?
No. It was,
were you?
No. It was this.
Were you?
It was this flaming guy walking into the store, and he's got an ascot on.
Now that guy should be in prison. Who wears an ascot? Come on.
I know. Right?
Come on. Who wears an ascot?
I don't know.
Wow.
That's suspicious.
Jill,
isn't it?
Jill and I are on a road trip, so we're. She's like, "What's on
that really?
Neck?"
Really?
Yeah, and I said, "It's an ascot, Jillian."
Wow. But interesting. We're going to.
But it was a non-violent crime too, Brian.
It's sketchy. If you look at the detail and you're on the road, Ellen wrote it down. Ellen, you could have been a little bit more sexier. The guy's in prison. You could have whispered lightly to him, give him something to do in his break time. How dare you? No respect for the prisoners of America. You could have sexed it up a little bit.
No, I was trying to be quiet. There's a lot of going on around here, outside.
Listen, you know what to do. Whore it up, lady. Whore it up.
Why do I get the feeling that when you two are off the air, you two somewhat have conversations like this, like, it's all your fault, Ellen. Something like that.
Oh, it is. Oh, that is exactly. That it's true. It's true. When we're off the air, if Ellen will have no idea what happened, and if something happened, I said, you know what? It's your fault. She goes, well, what happened? And I told her, and she goes, I didn't know. You're supposed to know. What do you think you are? You're supposed to know.
Yeah,
you're supposed to protect
me. I keep telling them, look, you know, I'm going to put some kind of damn alarm on your computer and your phone that lets you know when you're talking when I'm not around.
You're supposed to know everything. But here it goes. It's just a hard case. I mean, so you got the information. If you want to donate to Kevin, you can pull him up, Kevin Upkins, UPKINS, pull him up. You can read the cases for yourself. There is the donation button on there. And this is allegedly an innocent man behind bars who got railroaded through the Southern Justice of Georgia. So read it for yourself, and he's reaching out to see if he can get a better attorney to get out of jail, because facing life without parole, it's kind of a bad thing. Basically, you're facing death, locked in a cage till you die. So try to give him the
call. Is he still in prison?
I'm sorry?
Is he still in prison?
Yeah, he's still in prison. He's been in prison now for 10 years.
Oh, then who is that? Is that the guy that you just interviewed?
Yes.
Yeah. How do you get the interview with somebody who's a current prisoner?
Ellen's still with the prisoners. They have her picture all over the place. A death row, they love her.
They have row.
Yeah. No, apparently a lot of things have changed, because didn't Kevin say that they give them tablets in prison now?
Well, how it happened was Kevin Upkin's wife contacted me. She listened to the show. And I was hesitant about doing the interview, and then she showed me evidence in the case. I read the case. I did a lot of research. I said, okay, let's get him on the show, and let's hear a story. That's how it started. And in the beginning,
how did he get permission?
How did he get permission from the jail?
Yeah.
Well, apparently they have a calling card or something that they can, you know, when you call prisoners from jail, they can call you. A lot of people call you collect, but I guess they can get a calling card. I don't know, something like that.
Oh, okay.
That they get a number of credits that they can use the phone or whatever.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, and it's a sad story. And this woman was so faithful to him. I mean, they have a little kid. He was like, God, what was he, 6 when he first called? Now the kid's probably 13, 14. I'm not quite sure. And his kid contacts me once in a while and says, please help my daddy. And he talks to me, and I try to talk to him. And I did everything I could. I did everything I could. So the only thing I can do now is let him hear, you know, say his story, and hopefully somebody out there can champion it and, you know, do what he can. But my job is to get the story out there. That's it. That's all I can say, you know.
Well, I want to ask Ellen, how do you contact your guests, your authors, and anybody else? How do you get these people on the air? That's got to be a hard job.
Well, I mean, we have a guest form that I just share in the group that I'm in on Facebook and on Twitter and LinkedIn and Instagram. So that's how I get all the guests that come on. But Kevin Upkins is somebody that Brian has been talking to.
Well, yeah. I know he just explained that. But other than that, you've been having some good guests on. So you're on these particular groups like an Instagram and Pinterest and Facebook,
right,
et cetera. And if they – and what do they do?
Mm-hmm.
They just see the form and they just fill it out, or
no? But they know what they do is Ellen will. I don't even know how you do it, but basically they'll contact Ellen. I want to be on the show, and then there's a form we have, and it has the talking points, whatever, and they have to fill out the form on the thing, and then they tell us the date they want to come on, and then we confirm them, and that's how they're booked. They don't usually just say, "Hey, I want to be on a show," and we book them. They have to fill out a form first. It's a formal.
Right,
it has like
the initial contact. Well, the initial contact is that
it's
they
her promoting
see,
the show.
It's her promoting the show.
All right,
yeah.
So they see her, oh, the show, or a post on one of the social media
right.
sites, and then they, kind of, oh, okay, cool. All right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And she's good with promotion. They see the show, and then and once they see the show, they listen to the show first, and they be and they become a fan. You know, they may not always come in the room, but they become a fan and they listen to the show. So yeah, I would like to be on there. And it's very small avenues that somebody, an author or musician, can go on. I mean, where else can they go to actually get airtime? I mean, they can't go on network TV. They're not. They don't have a name. At radio, terrestrial radio, I mean, they hardly have guests at all on their show, you know. So there's very few venues that they can actually come on to promote their book or music, you know. So, and Blog Talk, I think we're probably one of the best people that they can come on and let them talk about their story. So we have that going for us.
Yep.
So they come on and take the beating. They pay.
Yeah, and then they say,
like people,
woo.
Well, here's how it starts. Well, Brian, thank you very much for having me on the show. Well, you're welcome. And then there's a guest, and then we have somebody in the studio going, ah, you're full of shit. Oh, what the fuck? Why do we listen to him? The fuck? Okay, which is you, Joe.
What about the people that say, where's fuck you, Joe? He's my favorite caller.
Yeah.
What about that?
But yeah, we got a lot of those. Hey Joe, the guy coming on and Melissa, the guy coming on next is very interesting. Again, he's a practicing attorney with personal injury. Also, is it you said criminal law too, Ellen? Criminal law too?
Yeah, he's personal injury, criminal, and family law.
And family law. So he's coming on next, and really briefly, Ellen, got 1 minute. So what is the book about?
It is about his journey through life. He's been widowed twice. He was married twice, and both of his wives died. So he wrote a book about how his life, you know, changed after his wives died. How he
kind of interesting. Married
mm-hmm.
twice, both dead.
Oh, and wow. You tell me nothing, and you intimate that I shouldn't come on these shows. Oh, Jesus. Interesting. Married twice, both dead.
Mm.
The first question you're going to ask him is, did you get an inheritance, Mr. Lawyer?
Yeah. Well, the first clue is when they call in with a burner phone, and then we'll go from there for me.
Right? I'd love to be on your show. I just don't want to use my real name.
Hey, really quickly, we got 30 seconds, Joe. I'm going to put it to you 30 seconds because the next show we're going to be able to do, after we do the interview, it's Friday, we'll be able to talk and do politics and everything like that. What do you think about Trump? Just 30 seconds, and I'll ask Melissa really quickly. What do you think about Trump releasing Sarah Sanders and Kellyanne Conway's on the chopping block? What do you think about this? And what do you think about Trump admitting, now he's trying to take it back, about taking information for a foreign government? What do you think about that, all of that, Joe?
I don't know if he's walking back that statement. That statement was so, so absolute. Sarah Sanders, I hear she's running for, she may run for governor, so she's been doing a good job as a press secretary, so I don't think he fired her unless they had some kind of arguments behind closed doors. Now, Kellyanne Conway, she's always been under fire, and she's got some arguments with her husband, and Trump didn't help any with that regard, so... I'll finish with that, and then I'll let Melissa.
Governor
right.
of Arkansas, which is right, that's going to be interesting. I want to hear Arkansas Mike, what he's got to say about that.
Right.
Interesting.
It's going to be very interesting.
Can you see her as a
governor?
You
guys, I hope. Yeah, that's another thing. We got 20 seconds, everybody. I hope you guys listen to the next show because then we're going to go into more detail. I hope you're going to be there. Jill, love you, Jill. All right. Thank you, Melissa. Joe, love you, too.
I got it.
All right, I'll call
you.
Jill has no pants on.
Jill was putting pants on.
Hey, Joe, listen to this. Jillian, say hello, Jillian. Listen how sexy Melissa's daughter is. Jillian, say hello.
Say hi to everybody.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, Jill, how you doing, kiddo? Jill,
God.
You know, I'm always there for you, Jill, even with pants or without pants. Don't forget to think about me.
Especially without. Yeah, they look good, Jill.
Yeah, especially without. All right, guys.
How old is Jill? Jesus. Can I stay for the
Isn't
show?
She
cause
sexy?
It sounds like it's interesting.
All right, I got to go.
You want to put me on mute?
Oh, my neck.
All right, bye.
Jill is so sexy. Bye, everybody.
Okay.